walk through the Gospel of Mark, our walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Mark. We'll continue today reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. And I invite you to listen for words that strike your heart, words that you think are a call to our church, or just something you'd like to share. We'll begin with verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. Were there any of these words that struck you this morning, that stood out? Yes, Sherry. God's kingdom is near. Yes. Something to meditate on itself. What does that mean? God's kingdom is near. The angels waited on him. That's a comforting image. Yeah. Ruby. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent. That means turn, not just turn, turn around and go back the other direction. Turn back towards Jesus. Towards God. Good question. We'll wade into that and talk about it a little bit. Yeah, what does that mean? Powerful images, at least, in this. Well, let the words of my mouth then and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So today we continue the journey, my yearly journey, to reconnect with Jesus, the man, the teacher, the healer, the Messiah, Son of God, Jesus, who showed us how to live in relationship with God and with each other. I'm always excited to go on this journey, and I hope you will be too. The Gospel of Mark is my choice for meeting Jesus this fall for several reasons. Mark is believed to be the first of the Gospels to be written. Mark tends to be more straight to the point with its message. Mark clearly defines the journey to the climax of Jesus' life, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And Mark puts an emphasis on discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus, but in a very human way. So today we begin almost at the beginning. As soon as we begin the Gospel of Mark with John the Baptist baptizing the people and calling for repentance from sin, Jesus shows up and is baptized by John. In Mark, there is no birth story, normal or otherwise. The birth of this gospel, according to the author, is Jesus' baptism. That is where we read about the Holy Spirit descending upon him and God's voice proclaiming to Jesus, "You are my son, with whom I am well pleased." A life of discipleship in relationship with God begins with the Holy Spirit at our baptism. Now, I invite you to think back on your own baptism. I went through the pastor's class in fifth grade with my friends, but I guess I was expecting something more profound to happen in that preparation. My friends were all baptized, but I decided to wait. So I went through the pastor's class again in sixth grade, and this time I felt ready. I felt that something was different in me. Was it the Holy Spirit? I was baptized at Central Woodward Christian Church by Dr. James Hempstead, a distant relative of Shannon's, though I did not know that then, or her. When I came out of the baptismal waters, I expected something to change. I don't know. I still had anger issues at that age. I was kind of small, but I would fight like a caged animal if I was picked on or slighted in any way. And it took me a few years to get past that. I was not terribly confident. But boy, I sure loved baseball. And this is the time of year for baseball. My dream in life was to play right field for the Detroit Tigers baseball team, just like my idol, Al Kaline. And being baptized didn't seem to change very much. I still had all the trials and temptations of becoming a teenager and then a young adult. Did any of you have a tremendous life-changing experience when you were baptized? I guess I was expecting something more, but I was on my way to becoming a disciple. So how many can remember the time and place that you became a follower of Jesus? And I do. Good. Now, I don't know why so many people expect the Christian life, the life of a disciple or follower of Jesus, to be filled with only joy and peace and free of heartache and pain. People still today follow the belief of the Pharisees that if you live faithfully, you have nothing but blessings. And if you suffer, it must be because of the sin in your life. With that in mind, let's look at what happened to Jesus when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. We read, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him." Now, the Spirit did not surround Jesus with material blessings or comfort following his baptism. The Spirit did not protect Jesus from heartache and pain. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness, we're told. Now, in the Bible, wilderness can be an unsettled natural habitation of wild animals, but not humans, a place that people only travel through. Or wilderness can also symbolize a place of chaos with no structure or order, like the creation, we're told, before God's Spirit swept over the void. Wilderness can reside in your heart or in your mind. It is telling, however, that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness and that he was tempted by Satan, the accuser in the Old Testament. The one who works against God's creative purposes. For 40 days, Jesus goes through, you might call it, hell on earth. And keep in mind that the number 40 in the Bible is often, often symbolic of a longer period of time. It really means a long period of time. So Jesus goes through some kind of struggle, some kind of hell perhaps, for a long time. Yet in the midst of this struggle, the angels waited on him, and he was with the wild beasts. Now, I'm not sure what the wild beasts did for him or to him, but Jesus was with them. So let's hold on to that for a moment. But God's angels waited on Jesus. Whether that was waiting on his every need for food, warmth. But even in the chaos, the wilderness of struggle, hell on earth perhaps, Jesus was not alone. God's angels were with him and took care of his needs. And something significant happened. The wilderness also connects Jesus with the chosen people led by Moses through the wilderness for 40 years before they entered the promised land. Now, Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days, and when he comes out of the wilderness, we're told that John the Baptist has been arrested, and Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Jesus came out of the wilderness proclaiming that the kingdom of God, the new promised land, has come near. The kingdom of God has come near in the midst of Jesus' baptism by John. The kingdom of God has come near in the midst of the wilderness of chaos, danger, and uncertainty. The kingdom of God has come near as he was with the wild beasts. I told you I'd come back to that picture. Do you remember the prophecies of Isaiah where he said, "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Now, the enmity between humans and wild animals was thought to symbolize the fall of humanity that we're told about in the Garden of Eden. Now, Jesus being with the wild animals seems to indicate that that fall is over, that reconciliation has occurred, that the kingdom has come near in Jesus. Think about that. The promised land has been rediscovered, even in the wilderness, even in the wilderness. So let's look around us today. As we move through the 21st century, if anything, we seem to be moving into wilderness. Look around us. Violence, war, and refugees have become part of the routine. Even before COVID, disease, poverty, and suffering were the norm in two-thirds of the world and increasing in the other third. Despite many new developments in healthcare and the rhetoric of hate and distrust and the level of untruth and misinformation have seemingly grown to new heights, if we are not experiencing chaos, struggle, and even hell on earth, what is going on? Surely we are in the wilderness. Even the church. In fact, I believe the church has helped to create that wilderness in ways, the chaos that we are living in. Look at all the mixed messages and the politics of power allowed or promoted by churches, even the violence that has been propagated by the church in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christianity. But where are the followers of Jesus? Oh, they're out there, and thank God they're in here. I'm seeing churches that are recognizing this wilderness of chaos and uncertainty that we, even in the church, even us baptized, seem to be living in, recognizing our current situation is the first step in reclaiming our own place in God's kingdom, God's reign of love. In our repentance and acceptance of God's reign of love on earth. And that's why I want to go on this journey and invite you to go along as we meet Jesus and hear him proclaim the good news of God and this new thing God is doing today in 2025. You see, there is good news in our story today. There's good news even in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted by Satan and he was with the wild beasts and the angels waited on him. God did not leave Jesus alone in the wilderness. And God will not leave you alone in your wilderness. In fact, God's kingdom is near even in the wilderness that you are dealing with today. Even in this wilderness named divisiveness, hate, or demonizing others, God's kingdom was near in Jesus' wilderness, and God's kingdom is near in any and all wildernesses for all who let God's Spirit descend upon them, like Jesus did, like we do. Yes, God's kingdom is near even in your wilderness or wildernesses. That is the good news. Do you perceive it? Do you believe it? Will you repent and turn around and go back towards Jesus? Will you receive the Holy Spirit and live in God's kingdom of love beginning today? Take home question. What signs do you see of God's kingdom of love in our church and in our community around us? It's here. It's here. Let's pray. Gentle, powerful, loving God, we're so grateful you have called us here as your church. We're so grateful for your gift of love that rains down upon us in your kingdom each and every day, with every breath, with every heartbeat, certainly every time we look at this good creation around us, every time we gather with your church family here, our church family, in relationships, so many ways that we experience your love and get to participate in that love, because it's not for us to just receive. Love is always meant for us to return and share with others, even if we're the first one to share. So God, we're grateful. We give you thanks. We worship and praise your name. We celebrate your kingdom among us and among all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.